I'm going to invite Jose to come on up today because, again, as we started a few weeks ago with this book of Philippians, it's kind of been a fun thing getting a chance to do a little collaborating. On weeks when I've been away, Jose has filled in for me. On weeks that he's been away, I've filled in for him. And for today, we get a chance to kind of work a little bit together as we seek to do this conclusion of the book of Philippians. Looking at it, for those who are new possibly today, we've been looking at it through a specific lens. Looking at this idea is that we love because He first loved us. The idea that through this month of February, we were going to look at how God's love affects us and how infected by that love we are to then affect the world around us. We have looked at numbers of ideas of how this is to be, that we have been loved by God. Again, this is foundational. So we are then invited to love Him in return, but not just love Him in return, that by His love we have been enabled to then love others better. Now that is a challenge for everyone who is human, because as humans we are all faulty, we're all frail. But yet that's what we are called to as we come to the final chapter today, this fourth chapter in the book of Philippians. And Paul is going to lift up two ways in particular that get affected by this and how it is that we live life, how it is our daily lives are changed by this awareness of God's love for us and our commitment to allow that love then to flow to others. We're going to look at a couple of barriers that get in our way. But also how it is that Paul then invites the Philippians and also invites us to overcome and to begin to move forward along this path of peace that's opened up to us by God's love. Back in chapter 2, a couple weeks ago, Jose was leading us through chapter 2, and there was a phrase, a critical phrase in that chapter where Paul was telling us that in humility, we are to value others above ourselves. That was a setting the stage for where Paul was eventually going to go here in chapter 4, in this first part. Again, there's going to be two aspects that Paul deals with. I'll take the first one here, and this idea of putting others above yourself is kind of foundational to that thought. Because when we move into chapter 4, and we'll open it up in just a moment, but before we do, it's going to begin with there's a problem in the church in Philippi. There's a conflict between two individuals. Two women who are in this church have a broken relationship. Something has happened. We don't know the backstory. Something has happened to cause an estrangement between them. And so Paul is addressing us, saying that, yeah, our relationships with one another are critical when it comes to being ohana, to being the body of Christ, to being fully what God has invited us to be, has a community aspect to it. And how we get along with one another is one of those keys. This isn't just in Philippians. All over the New Testament where Paul teaches, he is teaching almost at every letter he writes to the early church. He is writing about this idea of how it is that we are called to be one together. In Ephesians 4, he wrote to the Ephesians that we are to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, bearing with one another in love. That last phrase I absolutely love. Oh, the first phrase I love too, because he's picking up that idea of humility that he had in Philippians 2. Now in Ephesians, he picks up this humility and how it begins to morph into something more. Bearing with one another in love. I love the way he says that because sometimes, folk, it's hard to get along, isn't it? Sometimes things happen, and sometimes it is merely, I'm going to have to bear with you because I'm a little put out with you right now. You're ticking me off. But I'm going to put up with you because we're ohana. I'm going to bear with you and be patient with you because I recognize that you're not a finished product yet, and neither am I. In the letter to the Colossians, Paul, again, same theme. Bear with each other, he says, and forgive one another as you have grievances against someone. Forgive in the same manner as Christ has forgiven you. So again, we see this idea, this bearing with one another is a critical part of being family together, because it's hard. And part of the key to bearing with one another is having a spirit of forgiveness, not our own forgiveness, but a forgiveness that comes out of the recognition that God has forgiven us. So yes, we are called to love because Christ first loved us. We are also called to be humble because Christ first embodied humility before us. We are called to give ourselves to others because Christ has already given himself to us. And we are called to forgive because God has already forgiven you and me. And out of that place, we can come. So today, we want to open up in chapter 4. This is going to be our key. So we're going to take a look at it. Open with me, if you would like, to chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. Verse 1 tells us that we are to stand firm in the Lord in this way. This is the key, having recognized God's love for us and having now given ourselves to loving one another. This is how we are to stand. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, verse 2, I plead with Euodia and Syntyche. Now, I know you don't know any Euodias, do you? We don't name our daughters that anymore. Anyone have a daughter named Syntyche? A niece? A granddaughter? No. It's not a name that we use. These are Greek names. They are from a time past. But these two women were key in the church in Philippi, and they couldn't get along. They had in the past, but were not now. So I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Now, you might say, why does Paul do this? Is this just a little unique piece of history that's just there was a breakdown in relationship? No, because this is foundational for us as body, as church, to recognize that our interactions are key. How we interact with one another makes all the difference in the world, not only within the body, but within our testimony to the world around us. And so Paul is calling us to something else. But why is it so difficult for us to get along? Jose, do you know why it is?
It's hard to get along.
It is hard to get
along. Very hard to get along.
Because you know why? Because we're people.
That's what it is.
And because of our humanity, you know, because, well, no, the reason is because all those other people out there are wrong.
They're stupid.
They do dumb things. They make me mad. That's the problem. No, because we're human. I want to offer you something. This is just a little way of maybe getting along a little bit better. It's a quote from a gal named Lori Deschain. And Lori said this, that we all need to practice the pause. When she said that, this is a way of beginning to care for one another a little bit better. She said, practice the pause. Pause before judging, pause before assuming, pause before accusing, pause whenever you're about to react harshly. Hear that. And you will avoid doing and saying things that you'll later regret. You know, I think that's kind of what Paul was saying here. There's going to need to be a forgiveness coming here. But if we're going to continue to live together, we're going to have to practice this pause. Of not lashing out, of not being offended, or if we get offended, not returning fire for fire, not returning hurt for hurt, not returning the sense of retribution that often gets into the cycle. And that becomes part of it. How does this fit for us? Because we are all connected with people around us. But Paul also said that it's not the only thing. It's not just how we get along with those around us. It's how we just deal with life in general. There's a second burden or barrier that he invites us to overcome. And that's going to come in the next few verses here in verse 4. And I'm going to let Jose take it here. What's this other thing that we need to walk out, Jose?
Well, first of all, let me pause.
Yeah.
I for sure am one of the people that have to learn how to pause a little bit. But the book Philippians, I'm going to start off by reading off the scripture, Philippians 4 through 7. And this scripture here is actually a really good scripture. It's the scripture of encouragement. Some scriptures sometimes convict us, or maybe some have different feelings, but this one is totally an encouragement to us as Christ believers. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. It says again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The ultimate joy, it comes when Christ lives inside of us. Mm-hmm. When we allow Christ to dwell, take over our lives. Paul here talks about how would it be to live in a perfect world? There would be no conflict, no hurt, no failure, no sin, no sickness. In this passage, we find Paul in prison. He is behind bars, chained up, yet he is rejoicing in the Lord. That is beautiful encouragement, that no matter what circumstance you are going through, you can rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, says verse 4, right? Or as we can translate it, be glad. Paul has an attitude of being glad and being rejoiceful. Rejoice in all things. Be glad in all things. And you're probably thinking up here, just thinking to yourself right now, Pastor, are you crazy? Have you seen this world? Yeah, I have. And I'm asking myself, how can I be glad in it? You see, we have a Lord and Savior that encourages every single day. When we allow the Holy Spirit to come and transform our mind and work in us, we see things a little different. This means that we pour out our love to others, that we pour out our love in everything that we do. We are considerate, and that means being reasonable, being fair-minded, and always being giving. Jesus came and showed us through many scriptures that that was his example here on earth. John 4:9 says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Let your consideration show in your treatment of others. Notice this, he says, everyone, not just the people that make you comfortable and happy. That's everyone. And that's hard to do because it's hard to get along. And then he continues with saying, the Lord is near. Yes, the Lord is coming soon. But this is a calling to allow the Holy Spirit to draw in. It's for us to be in a response to let the Holy Spirit work in us and draw us closer to him because we want to hear his heartbeat. Wouldn't it be nice if we never had to worry? We wouldn't have to worry at home, maybe not in school. Maybe we didn't have to worry in our jobs. Let's just think for a second. And this is a complete no-brainer here. Do you want to worry less? There is a simple formula here that Paul is talking about very clearly. And he's talking about praying more. Pray more. Seek the Father. When you're worried, stop at that exact moment and pray. Thank Jesus for all his love, all that he's done in your life. What's going on at that given moment? It's just a circumstance. It's a season. Seasons change. Paul's talking about clearly giving everything to God and praising the Lord. Ask yourself, do I honestly take time to listen to God? We are all trying to spiritually mature. And the closer we get, the more we pray, the less we worry. God's peace is different from this world's peace. And let me repeat that again. God's peace is different from this world's peace. This peace is not found in our creative minds, or maybe our so-called positive thinking, or maybe the absence of conflict, or maybe in a good feeling. It comes when we trust God enough where we see him fit in our lives. His best way possible fit. There's something real. Our home is not here. Our home is in the eternal presence of God, in his kingdom. And I get it, many of us want to do it our own way. I'm for sure guilty of that. But the true peace, it comes when you allow God to guard your heart. When you allow him to guard your heart from all the anxieties that go on this world. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of barriers that try to break us down and draw us away from God. But the Lord is drawing closer. And that means our spirit should be drawing close to God. We need to hear his whisper, his heartbeat. Our joy, our peace, comes because Jesus loved first. It starts with allowing Jesus to come into our lives. And that means we don't get to pick and choose what part he takes. That means all aspects of our lives. We know that God knows everything anyways, so why not give it to him? His life showed us that his life was an ultimate sacrifice to show us that he loved first. My friends, we are called to love in a manner the way Jesus loved.
Is this path of peace Jose is talking about? And again, it has to do with the relationships around us, and it has to do with simply our heart within us. And he's got both of them working here in this chapter 4. He calls us as his followers to follow his lead and his example, to love him like he loved. And because he has loved us, he invites us to not be overcome by all the other worries that come in this life. As Jose said, we all want to worry less. And he gives us the path of how we can do it. He gives us this path and he says, now put it into practice. Friends, we all may know these things, but we don't often put them into practice. And that's the reason that we call this sermon today is where the rubber meets the road. Now we know these things. We know that we're loved first, and so we're invited to love. We know that there is something important about this relationship of being one in the body of Christ. We know there's something about this finding God's peace through prayer and not through worry and anxiety, which is going to just continue to rob us of that. And so finally, at the end of this theme, this thought, in verse 9, he says this, whatever you have heard, whatever you have received or learned from me or seen in me, put it into practice. This is what he's inviting us to, is to allow God's word, which we can read, to become our lifestyle, to where worry no longer holds us, to where disagreements or just being broken no longer gets us, but that we reside in this place of God's love for us, because it is on him that we build our life and that we allow this building of our life to reflect all the more. So I want to say thank you, Jose. This was a great idea to jump into Philippians, to begin to look at the pattern that Paul leads for us. I want to thank all of you for being a part of this, and now I'm going to commit all of us to this charge, that whether it be because I am riddled with worry because I'm not resting in his love, or whether it's because I have broken relationships and messy connections because instead of loving as he has loved me, I'm allowing this to just continue to pollute everything around me. This is Paul's key for us, and he invites us to a better way of living and loving. And so he invites us to that. I'm going to invite our team to come. We're going to get ready to close. I want to just say a brief prayer over all of us as we begin to put this into motion, put this into practice, allow God to do what he wants to do in and through you as our team prepares to conclude our time together. Father, it is to you that we look, and ask that it is beyond us to be able to make sense out of the broken world around us, or even to make sense out of the broken world within us. So God, we pray that your love would have such a way of touching us and affecting us that we would become changed people, that we would learn to rely on you all the more and your love for us. We would come to know you and the sacrifice you've made for us, to trust you more, to place our faith in you, so that we not be just continually blown by every wind and every desire to somehow become acceptable. God, that we would find our security rooted in you as we continue to build our life upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.